This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Happy Monday, everybody. Sleepers Podcast, Monday, June 17th. Brian Ralph is with me this lovely Friday afternoon. That's when we're recording this. Carter is flying back from Florida right now. Coleman Hawkins just committed to Kansas State right before we record this, and we live called Carter. He was at a Publix getting a sandwich. Brian, how surprising is it that Carter's buying a sandwich at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time?
If you are in Florida, you need to get a pub sub. So I'm very glad he did that before he left. Pub subs are legit. Great thing. Glad he checked that off the list.
Over under 15 and a half pub subs he had in his 4 days in Florida this week.
Over. I hope it's over. They're legit, man. I love a good pub sub.
I love a good pub sub. They are good. The chicken tender one is the one I got. It's good. But he tried to play that off like, oh yeah, I had to get my first bullshit cart. Okay. You're staying in a family residence. Like you know where the local Publix is, and you got them when you got there.
The mindset of thinking of pub subs at like 10:30 a.m. I respect the commitment.
He's thriving. He really is. You're also thriving being here with us. We appreciate you, Brian. You have kind of become like, dare I say, you're a star, but I feel like we're using you in like a baseball utility role right now. It's like whenever we have to scratch someone, Brian Ralph gets the call and you come in and just knock it out of the park for us. So we appreciate that.
These 10-day contracts are more lucrative than my G League deals, so thank you.
One of these days, we'll reward you with the full lifetime contract, Brian. I promise you that. All right, we have a good show for you today. We have three topics. Brian came up with one of them. We're going to talk some sleepers teams in every single conference that are not being picked in the top half that can maybe make a run at their conference title. There's been debates on the top 100 players of the 21st century. Zach Edey was at one. How crazy is that? Who should have been number one? And then a fun question from a friend of ours on Twitter. What non-star player has a chance to become a breakout star in this upcoming season? So I'm looking forward to these topics. But we can start with a YouTube comment of the day. Carter normally picks one, Brian. I'll give you the opportunity to pick one if you'd like, or I can pick one for you.
I am not prepared. So if you could, that would be great. That was not in my 10-day.
I can absolutely pick one for you. I didn't know how much you wanted to go full Carter Elliott impersonation. This is from Medium Al 13. He says, Luke Combs over Action Bronson is an actual travesty. Love the basketball opinions, but music takes can be bad.
I'm not a Luke Combs guy.
Wait, I'll leave it at that. You're an ally of mine on Luke Combs? You struck me as a guy who would love Luke Combs, Brian, with all due respect.
No.
Are you
country? I'm generally out. I'm generally out on all things country.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. That has ostracized me living in the Carolinas, but I don't care.
What's the go-to music for Brian Ralph?
It varies. It varies, but my favorite artist of all time is probably Wale.
That's a whole separate conversation. Damn it. Damn it.
We've had this before. But yeah, I got a whole bunch of family that lives up in the Washington, D.C. area. So I was, I've gotten to experience a lot of that, and I love it.
Wale just he's a good script to follow. He just monologues about nothing. And every, you get a 75-second intro to every song that's just him speaking in tongues.
It's him laying the groundwork for the rest of the song. That's why he's got the mixtape about nothing, more about nothing, the album about nothing. He knows what he's doing, man.
Yeah, I wish he would make an album about something. That's what I wish, because my guy just rambles.
You can't hate on ambition like that, or the gifted like that.
Ambition's good. I have not seen a rapper with a more one-dimensional flow have as much success as Wale has had. Like,
it's a good flow. It's a good flow.
Like, that's, it's a good cadence. It's good. We get it, but like, evolve a little, you know? All right.
We need to expand your Wale catalog a little bit. That's what I've gotten out of this.
I'll listen to the links. You send me a link, I will listen to it. Let's get to the Discord comments. Join the Discord. It is $9.99 a month. I want to give a shout out to AH. I believe that's a friend of the show. Akil has joined after being, I think he joined the Discord like 8 months ago, and he finally joined the paid version of the Discord so people can finally see his comments. That was good to see. And then Boiler MCD also just joined the Discord this morning. And then looks like a third flurry has joined. Dame has joined this morning. So great morning for the Discord. The community continues to get bigger and bigger. A lot of people supporting this show. If you support the show, that allows us to pay people like Brian Ralph and Riley Davis to make regular appearances on the show. So if you're looking for a reason, there's your reason right here. And we read the comments every single day. Let's get to those comments right now. I got to scroll up a little bit to find where we left off from yesterday. Let's see here. I think this one missed. This one was intended to make it for a Riley Friday, but it just missed. So you have to answer on behalf of Riley Davis, Brian. Toon says, okay. Re-upping, what is Riley's favorite album? No skips. Riley said his favorite album might be College Dropout. What's your favorite album? No skips.
Yeah, I will give my answer. I will not give Riley's answer. Favorite album, no skips, might be Ambition. Might be Ambition.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to move on. Who are each of your favorite graduates who will be future Hall of Fame car salesmen? Basically, which seniors from last year of college basketball that aren't good enough to continue their basketball careers do you really like?
Like, as people? I guess if you're going to buy cars from them.
Yeah, like first team all car salesman. I always made the joke like, oh, he's going to be great in finance one day. Like those type guys. Brad Davison was one for years. With all due respect, friend of the show, Stu Douglas was a great one for years.
Jack Golke was that while he was still playing. Yeah. So, that's the easy answer.
That is probably, he has a great personality too. He's really good at the music stuff. Trying to think of one that's relevant in our Big Ten world. Like Gabe Cupps would sell a beautiful car. I'd buy something from him for sure. I think Frankie
Tominaga?
Frankie Fiddler would be good. No, can't you say he's gonna be overseas?
Yes, he is. I know. At the end of his career. The end of his career.
He just signed with was it the Curry brand or something today?
He probably did.
He signed with some big brand today. I don't know. Mono CBB says, if Usain Bolt and Joey Chestnut lined up for a 100-meter race, but they had to eat one hot dog before they could run, who wins?
If it was one hot dog, I would say Bolt. If it was two hot dogs, then definitely Joey Chestnut.
Yeah, I think it's not that hard to eat one hot dog, right? Like,
correct. But to get two down... And the transition between them, like Joey would eat two in the time it would take Bolt to eat like half of one.
Yeah.
And that's enough seconds in a 100.
How quick are you eating a hot dog?
One hot dog, I could do it very quickly. Two hot dogs would be more of a challenge. So I could probably do 5 to 10 seconds.
What do you think the total number is for like hot dog finished 100-meter race? Like, are we talking seconds? Like what's the number?
The number of seconds or the number of hot dogs that
seconds. Like, what if Joey Chestnut won this event? What's his time?
Got it.
Or if Usain won the event, what's his time?
20 seconds.
20 seconds. Okay.
20 seconds. I think we can get there.
Okay.
This sounds like the real life. I don't know if people outside North Carolina know this, but have you heard of the Krispy Kreme run?
Yeah.
Yeah. This sounds like a real life like Krispy Kreme run.
This sounds like a great challenge for us, or some sort of punishment for when Carter.
Maybe that's the next bet between you and Carter, is the loser has to eat 2 hot dogs and sprint 100 meters.
It would be really good. Carter claims he can beat anyone that's ever been on this channel in a race. Also, I'd like to see him against Riley Davis in a race. I think Riley would surprise him first.
I think Riley would fry him.
Yeah, me too. All right, fun question there, Mono. Jay Hart says, if I went to jail, what crime would you assume I committed? So I golfed with Jay Hart in person. I met him about a month ago now. And this is the most interesting human I've ever met. He worked in a Michelin star like restaurant as a chef.
Ooh.
He's only a sophomore in college. He was an aerospace engineer for a little bit. And now, like, it's all just right. The most fascinating human. I think he would have pulled off some sort of heist, but gotten caught. Like, he outsmarted himself and left the trail trying to be too cute.
Yeah, that would fit. There's a lot of really high-end stuff there that has been dabbled in. Heist would be a good one.
Yeah. Are you a heist movie guy, Brian?
I am. I actually, on a plane, watched a documentary on Showtime called Catching Lightning, which blew my mind. I had no idea this happened. It was about a UFC fighter in the UK, Lee Murray, I think his name was, in the early 2000s, who also orchestrated the largest cash heist in world history.
Wow. Now I got to check
like
that
out. Took like $100 million in cash.
I'm a big heist.
That was a good one.
I like the Oceans movies, still some of my favorite rewatchable movies.
So. Yeah, Catching Lightning on Showtime. I highly, highly recommend.
We'll have to check that out. Scumbag Sully also wants to know what crime or crimes he would have committed. Crimes is definitely the better word for Sully. I'm thinking like stalking and then breaking and entering would be the two easy entry points. Sully's a big Kentucky fan. And when we get heated, when we make too many jokes at Mark Pope's expense, Sully always just hits me with a, I'm under your bed, Greg. And I'm like, okay, that's terrifying. I have checked under my bed once to see if Sully's there. He is not there. Coleman's Burner says, do any of you guys have a burner? I 100% think you guys both do, but you guys are just too smart to get exposed. Do you have a burner account?
I do not have a burner account. Anything I want to say troll-wise, I'm totally fine owning up to it and doing it on my own account.
Okay, yeah. I don't. I think this is going to seem suspicious with the way I'm talking right now. I don't have a burner. The closest thing to a burner that I have ever had, I'm kind of telling on myself right now, but I think this is hilarious, is I did create a Twitter account, which I actually just logged myself out of. I don't know if I remember the password, but it used to be called Andy Dogs with D-O-G-Z. It was like an Andy Katz play. And the profile... Oh, no. The profile picture is just a picture of Andy Katz with like dog ears. And the bio of the Twitter account says Big Ten so good, woof, woof, bark. And I just tweeted out like occasional really, really stupid Andy Katz like things, but added like woof, woof, bark to the end.
last tweet was March 17th. So this was recent.
Yeah.
We're following that now.
Nobody followed it. Nobody interacted with it. But like, I would just tweet things like, woof, woof, Cam Spencer is the best center in the country. I'm Andy Katz. Woof, woof, bark. Like, it's so stupid. But I didn't do any burner like activities. I would just tweet Andy Katz nonsense to nobody. I do think, I think if there's one of us who would have a burner, it wouldn't be Carter. Carter's too violent and he's fine being himself.
He owns it.
Yeah.
He owns it.
Yeah. I think Riley might have a burner, though.
I don't think he does, but it would not shock me.
He's a big, like, message board guy, but he doesn't want you to know he's a message board guy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see that.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
A little Tristan Freeman underneath there.
Yeah, but Tristan, like, wants to be known as the message board guy. Yeah. Riley just wants to, like, come in and out and post, like, keep a pulse on things, you know? Yeah. I got my eye on you, Riley. Brendan says, just entered the transfer portal for track. Should I demand Osabor money? Do you think there's Osabor money to go around in track?
You can demand it. I don't know if you're going to get it, but you can demand it.
This just makes me realize I would enter the portal in every field of life if I could. You know?
But then you're going to be a consistent portal guy. We look down on those people who are in the portal every offseason, right? You're going to portal like four times?
I think we need more portals. This is a takeaway for me. Like, imagine if there was like, I guess like Indeed.com's a thing, but like, what if there was a job portal for regular people?
Well, that'll just be the next Indeed. It'll just be called jobportal.com.
But like, you could see people who are like, yeah, like I want to keep the option open to return to my current 9-to-5, but like I'm willing to see what else is out there.
I would love to see how employers handled that.
It'd be so hard. Now I would understand.
What would you do if one of your employees entered the portal? It's the same thing as coach. Like, your employees enter the portal. What do you do? Do you still give them sensitive information?
Yeah, I need a raise. I need Coleman Hawkins money. Otherwise, I'm gone. It'd be so funny. Or like, now I'm really getting myself in trouble here. Imagine if there was a marriage portal.
Like, yeah, Ashley Madison. That was the marriage portal.
Yeah, but that was just like, I'm here to cheat. Like, there's probably people that entered the portal with good intentions that aren't trying to cheat on their school, right? So like, I mean, so I
you're,
guess
you're talking about a portal to leave your marriage with good intentions.
Yeah, when you say it like that, it doesn't make a lot of sense. For the record, I would never portal away from my wife, but I think it would be hilarious if this existed in all facets of life. I want it to
happen. Think my wife just walked down here, and I hope she didn't hear that out of context.
She's like, what are you doing, Brian? What did you sign up for? Jew Bowie says you should do a segment where you come up with a set of hypothetical Big Ten SEC and or Big Ten Big 12 challenge matchups and make picks. I think the Big Ten would probably get cooked. I like that as a segment, but they would get cooked. It just makes me sad. Dreadhead Dev Royal the King says, who do you want to see Holtman and the boys target now that they have a new spot with the transferring of Peyton Subanik? Nobody.
Coleman Hawkins would have been funny, but he's off the board now.
Yeah. I don't know. Holtman hasn't been in like A-list or B-list lists, has he, this offseason? Not since the first month.
Like, they seem pretty content with what they have.
Yeah, it's tough. Imaner says, can you each pitch a college basketball movie idea? You want to pitch a college basketball movie idea, Brian?
A college basketball movie idea. I've always kind of wondered this, and I think it would be interesting, just sports in general, pitches college basketball-wise, too. Every single sports movie is like the underdog who achieves it. And that's like, you know, when you're any story is better when it's the underdog achieving it. We don't hear about, like, we hear all the time from coaches how hard it is to be on top and stay on top.
Ooh.
Let's get a movie about some like 5-star prospect who went to Kentucky and what that was like, trying to hold on to all of that and the pressure.
That would be great. I would watch that. Yeah.
That's like the obvious story that would just like doesn't get told because it's not as fun.
True. Yeah, or like the spin on the underdog story, except the underdog just keeps losing every time. Like, there is no happy climax. He just keeps losing over and over again.
Yeah.
So I think I've spoken about this on the show before. I at one point started writing a script years ago for a college basketball television show that in my head was going to have a very similar Breaking Bad style arc. But like a fictional John Calipari was the main character instead of Walter White. So like, like a coach who has gone through, like, picture Cal when he first got the Kentucky job would be the timing of the start of the show. Like episode one, you're welcoming in the next hottest new guy that's on top of the college basketball world who actually has like all these dirty demons to him, but public people think he's the greatest guy ever. And yeah, just, I think there's a lot of ways you can do like every season of the show is a season of the team and crazy shit happens. Probably has a scandal arc to it. You know,
there could be some intersections there. I have written 2 pages of a high school college basketball prospect book. Ooh. 2 pages. We're 2 pages in. There could be some intersections there. We could find a way.
I need to finish this book, Brian, immediately with a quickness. Andre L says, saw some comment from Hurley calling Mahaney a combo of Tristan Newton and Cam Spencer. If Greg wasn't hot and bothered before, I'm sure he is now. Surely Hurley is an unbiased source. How many teams in the top 10 could trade their best perimeter player for Aiden Mahaney and improve?
I think last year that answer is much more than this year, because I think this year the top 10 is incredibly strong. Like I think it's going to be a really good year for like elite teams. Last year, I think the number could have been 5 or 6. This year, I think the number might be like 1 or 2.
Do you think Aiden Mahaney would be the best guard on Houston?
Not for the way Houston plays.
I'm thinking like Houston, Auburn, Duke. I think UConn counts. I think he's the best guard on UConn.
Yeah.
I'm thinking
non-UConn. I'm sorry, but yeah, he's the best guard on UConn.
If you're just doing like Kansas, if you're just doing DeJuan Harris and whoever plays the two, give me Mahaney.
Would you have a Mahaney or AJ Storr?
I'm not counting him in the backcourt. I would put like...
So Ryland Griffin?
I mean, that's the thing. They're going to be playing like a
Storr's going to Storr's going to play the two.
Do you think he's more of a guard than Ryland? If that's it, to me, I would say it's like Ryland Griffin or Zeke Mayo. Or this kid, the guy they got to replace El Marco after the injury.
He's better than what's his face? The I'm blanking on his name from Mississippi State. He's better than Moore.
Shaquille,
thank you. I knew it was an SHA.
I'm talking myself more into this. He'd be the best guard on Gonzaga. Yeah. He would be the best guard.
He would be best guard on Gonzaga.
Marquette. No one has him in the top 10. I don't know. I think
Let me pull up my top 10 here.
Do it.
We can go to the next one while I pull this up. We'll come back to this.
Okay, I'm excited for it. Let's see. Booby says, as someone who's been watching for months but not been in the Discord, my biggest thing has been the UCLA disrespect when it comes to Big Ten contenders. New to the conference, which I already think has a coaching edge that comes with unfamiliarity, but also this team is very deep and loaded up with transfer talent. Keep dudes like Dylan Anders and Sebastian Mack. Adding Daly, Johnson, Harris, Clark, Bilodeau, and Kyle, plus Mara could prove to be an NBA talent next year, which would elevate them more. I'm not saying they're winning the Big Ten, but easily, in my opinion, should be preseason top 3 to 4. Do you agree that UCLA should easily be third or fourth?
I have them third currently, looking at my top 25. Purdue is first, Indiana second, and UCLA is third. I think Dylan Andrews could be in for a really, really big breakout season. The back half of last season, he averaged like, I forget what the numbers were, I looked it up. It was like 18, 4, and 4 on 40% three-point shooting. If you get that guy for a full season, then yes, UCLA is top 3, I think, pretty easily.
I responded to this already in the Discord. I shouldn't have, but I have UCLA third. When we did the actual Big Ten rankings, I have them third. I just don't think it's like obvious. I really struggle with, hey, Sebastian Mack and Andrews and Mara are back. They stunk last year. They stunk last year. They stunk last year. They stunk. I cannot say it. Mara was horrendous. Mara was awful. And I get why we still have to project him as good. But like he to me at least would have been like a change of scenery guy to maybe have a Khalil Ware breakout type season in a new greener grass is greener situation. I like Sebastian Mack, and I agree Dylan Andrews was really good in the second half of the year. Riley Kugel was also great in the second half of the year a year ago, and then he didn't break out at all. And he came from a bad team to, he's the obvious breakout guy. Maybe not. Maybe it's just a bad fit. To me, the best transfer they added is Sky Clark. Does Sky Clark fix any of UCLA's issues? And is he a locker room upgrade? Like, I just think there's a lot of issues here. I would have liked more turnover than they actually had. But like I said, I have them third, so I don't think there's much to gripe about. It's just I don't think it's anything close to a safe bet. What do you got for your top 10 list?
All right. So my top 10 is Alabama, Kansas, UConn, Iowa State, Baylor, Duke, Houston, Arizona, Gonzaga, and Auburn. I'm going to automatically eliminate Iowa State and Houston just because of their style of play. I don't think Mahaney fits that at all. He's not the best guard in Alabama. I think it's debatable if he'd be the best guard in Kansas, depending on how you
he'd be the best guard in Kansas. Put taking
store.
That.
Okay, so we'll do that. He's the best guard on UConn. I don't know if he's the best guard on Baylor. Depends on what you think of Edgecombe. I probably lean Edgecombe.
I'm huge on Edgecombe. I'm absolutely huge on Edgecombe. If we're doing.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To Baylor, I would rather say it's Jeremy Roach and Jaden Nunn.
Edgecombe's not a three.
I mean, they play three guards.
Right.
If we're doing all these like small forwards that are
So questionable. We'll say between Baylor and Kansas, there's another one.
Like, are we considering Alex Caravan a guard for UConn? Because then he's not the best guard on UConn.
I think he'd be the best guard on Duke.
Without question.
I do not think he'd be the best guard in Arizona. I think he'd be the best guard on Gonzaga.
You could argue Arizona.
And I do think – so, yeah, I do think he'd be the best guard in Auburn. So we're looking at probably like six, seven teams.
I want to have this exact same conversation in the middle of the season because what Aiden Mahaney's going to look like this year is going to look so different than what he looked like the first two seasons. Everybody's going to feel stupid except for me. Listen, I know I come out here – and I throw takes at the wall, and some stick, and some miss violently. But this feels very 2 years ago Terrence Shannon to me, where anything he did at Texas Tech was not screaming best player in the portal, but you watch this dude play basketball, and you imagine him in a new system that makes way more sense for him, and it's like he has special shit to him. Mahaney has been in the slowest team that wants to drain clock, has nobody who can create anything for themselves except for him, and all he's done is torch Gonzaga anytime he plays them. So now you put him in the best offensive system for a shooting guard on a team that is saying out loud he wants to be the number one option. Like, Dan Hurley views that guy as his number one option. Are we going to sit here after this whole Lakers week? Do you know how many – Brian, now ranting. Do you know how many people did think pieces on Dan Hurley this week? There were 9,000 think pieces about how great Dan Hurley is, this gift to the sport. And these same people want to come back and say the guy who's going to be his number one option isn't going to be that good? Which one is it? Because if I'm supposed to believe the think pieces, Aiden Mahaney is going to be incredible this season.
You and I are on the same page. I have no notes. Nothing else to add.
Thank you. Okay, I think that might be it. Shout out to Booby, by the way, for rejoining the Discord and having a long back and forth with me in here. Final comment is Incendium, who says, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much of your Purdue content is a result of there being a high number of us Purdue fans who are paying for the Discord? I will gladly answer this question. It's a good question. I think it's pretty low. I think it would be the inverse, if anything, and maybe I'm projecting a little bit of what I want the answer to be here, but I would like to think that people are joining the Discord to support the show because we've been talking about their favorite team already. Like, we didn't get a Purdue following magically and then start catering. Like, we just talked about Purdue a lot and people found us. I think that same thing happened with Illinois. I think that same thing happened with UConn to an extent. And a very common thing with us and the way we try to entertain with all of this content, which I'm sure you're realizing after a year of working with us now, is oftentimes people are first introduced to us with something very negative. Like, Illinois fans will find us because we were slandering them horribly. And then a week later, they'll come back to kind of victory lap or troll or like dunk on us when we're wrong. And then they'll realize the day that we're wrong, we are owning the fact that we're wrong. And we're being unbiased about it and trying to be objective and admitting our mistakes. And then after you've gone through that cycle of like, well, these guys are hating. Ha ha, they're so stupid. Oh, wait a second. I actually respect these guys because they owned it and they're pretty entertaining. That's kind of been our introduction cycle with Illinois, then with Purdue, then with UConn, then with Kentucky. Like, you can go team by team through all the big fan bases. We go through that exact cycle. So I think we're obviously a Big Ten show. We cater to that audience because that's where our heart is for me and Carter. But we resonate with a lot of different fan bases, not just Purdue, that I think over time, hopefully, will have the same level of growth and support that we see in the Discord. That's why we have Kentucky fans in the Discord. That's why we have UConn fans in the Discord. Arizona fans are starting to join the Discord. So I hope that that's the real answer here. But it might just be hope from my end. It may be a mix of both.
Well, I will say, too, like, Purdue has been the main topic in the sport for 18 months now. So like some of that is going to come. Purdue is the team that not only us on this channel, but college basketball media at large, it was the favorite thing to talk about. How many Zach Edey, just tall or not? Does he foul or not? Like, conversations were there nationally. Purdue was the major topic.
Yeah. Yeah. And there is, like, look, I am in charge of this. This is my everyday job. I've somehow made a career out of this, which is awesome. And like, I wake up in the morning or I go to bed at night with like, okay, what are the topics for tomorrow? And the goal is like, we need a podcast episode and we need some short stuff to do. And I mean, of course, I'm going to cater to what audiences I know we have. Like, would we be doing a video on like, pick a random school, like Penn State? If Penn State's shooting guard came back with flimsy arms, are we making a video about that? Probably not. But we did this week because Fletcher Lawyer went viral in our audience's circle. But at the same time, like, a summer ago, one of the first big Purdue things we did was we were complaining that Braden Smith was left off the top 25 list of players in the Big Ten. Inside the Hall and UM Hoops did it. And I love Inside the Hall. I love UM Hoops. But they missed. And Carter and I were like, this is one of the dumbest things we've ever seen. And so we bitched about it for a whole week. And then that's how Purdue fans first found us. And that wasn't content to serve an audience because we didn't have the audience yet. It was just something we felt passionate about. So it's kind of a mix of all of it. You cater to the people that come to see you, but also people find you as a new audience every time. And I will say this, I am much... not more, but I am very focused on trying to find new audiences as much as I am catered to the current audience, because the only way this grows and gets bigger and becomes an actual company is if we find 17 more Illinois and Purdue's beyond just the two that we currently have. So there you have it. There's the comments for today. Brian, before we get to our topics, we must remind the people that we are brought to you by NBA 2K Lab. All month, we've been working on NBA draft content. Brian's been a huge part of this. We have 75 players on our big board, and we've made 150 videos, scouting reports and player comparison videos. It's been a lot of work, but it's been a lot of fun. And you can see our big board over at NBA2KLab.com, where they have a bunch of mini games. The people at 2K Lab make some really, really fun things that help enhance your NBA 2K playing experience. Brian, you are a pretty big gamer, if I am correct here. I know you're constantly playing the college basketball game. Do you ever play 2K?
Love 2K. Love 2K. Yes.
It's a good game. It's a very good game. You and I were doing some videos earlier this week, and you were like, I need 10 minutes because I got to finish. I'm in the fourth
you
quarter.
You called me in the last 3 minutes of a tight game, man. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm locked in.
It was tough. 2K Lab makes a lot of stuff that will make your 2K playing experience fun. They are putting out videos every day on the best badges, best player builds, but their mini games are super fun. You can play like, what college did he go to, guessing while you wait for your load screens while you're playing the game. And the NBA Draft Simulator is the one that we are featured in. Our big board is listed. It's sorted 1 through 75. So go to NBA2KLab.com and check out all the mini games that they have to offer. Thank you to 2K Lab for supporting the show this month. Topic number one, I'm going to let you tee up, Brian, because you pitched me on this one, and I like it quite a bit. What do we got?
Yes. So I heard this on a version of this on the Cover 3 podcast I listened to. And I also thought it was relevant because I am a South Carolina alum. And this applied to South Carolina last season, where I want to know teams that are projected to finish in the bottom half of each power conference league that we think have the most potential to compete for a conference championship. Not necessarily win it, but I'll use South Carolina as an example. Gamecocks were picked to finish dead last in the SEC last season. Mid-February, they were right at the forefront of the SEC title race. I want to go power conference by power conference and pick a team that is projected to be in the bottom half that we think has the best chance to at least be in the mix in the conference title race.
Absolutely love this. Very fun game. Fun time to do this game. Do we have anywhere we want to use the projections of to like draw a line on who's in the bottom half, or are we kind of guesstimating that?
I think we guesstimate that. I think we're early enough to where there's no general consensus.
Okay.
I think we can guesstimate it and overrule each other if we think one of the teams is too good.
I like it. Okay, let's go alphabetically through this. Let's start in the ACC. Who's your sleeper?
My sleeper in the ACC, it's Syracuse. No, I'm just kidding. It's not Syracuse.
I listened did that to last
the
year,
Syracuse so. State of the Program video. I think Syracuse is going to be terrible this year. I honestly think it could be Notre Dame. I honestly think it could be Notre Dame. Notre Dame was a team last season that was really bad at the start, improved a lot throughout the course of the season. And the way that Micah Shrewsbury plays that style is unique and difficult to defend. Looking at their roster, there's not a ton to really like there. I do like Marcus Burton a lot, though. And given how weak the ACC is, I think there's a chance for a team to really leap up there and be the fourth or fifth best team in the league. Like, let's say a lot of people are penciling in Louisville as making that jump this year. They're not in this conversation. But let's say things with Louisville don't work out. Virginia's transfers don't hit the way that they could. I think that leaves things pretty wide open, and Notre Dame could be a team that makes the jump just with style of play.
I want to believe in Shrews, like, massively. Like,
year two was the year it happened at Penn State.
You're right. The Kerry Booth departure was ominous to me. And look, I'm not a huge Kerry Booth believer, so I don't want to like make the argument that they can't do it because they lost Kerry Booth. But to me, Booth was like the perfect talent upside year two breakout guy in a perfect system for him. And instead he transfers to a program where I don't even know if he's going to play that much. That feels really ominous to me. Like, how is Shrews not able to keep a guy who has the perfect stretch four skill set in his offense? You just don't want to lose guys like that. As good as I think Marcus Burton is, I don't really believe in anything else they have with Kerry Booth out of this. And Braden Shrewsbury was good too. Braden Shrewsbury is playing because he's Micah Shrewsbury's son. They would be so much better if he was not their second best player. So I want to believe in it. I just don't like what they did this offseason enough. Can we eliminate the teams that I'm not allowed to pick here? So no North Carolina, no Duke. Rattle off the other teams I'm not allowed to pick here.
I would say no Louisville, no Virginia, no NC State.
Am I allowed to go like Miami? Am I allowed to go Wake Forest, or are those upper half too?
I would consider them upper half.
I gotta say, those are the two I want to go, but it feels really dicey to the cut line.
Yeah. Like they're going to be at this point in the season, obvious holes with all of these teams is why they're projected to finish towards the end. It's an exercise to see like if things break right, where is there some potential upside?
Yeah. Okay. Am I allowed to pick the team that was in the Elite Eight last year that's not NC State?
You can pick Clemson if you would like to pick Clemson.
I'm going to pick Clemson then. I think, okay, PJ Hall was great. He was really great. How great was he, though? He's really
good. We had these conversations.
He's really productive, right? I know he was really productive, and Joe Girard actually did open up a lot of things for them. I think them getting Chase Hunter back was insanely massive, and nobody's really talking about it. I loved him. I thought he was dominant in the NCAA tournament, not just good, dominant in the NCAA tournament run. Victor Lockin is a dude like I really do believe in. I liked him a lot at Cincinnati, and I think like as a PJ Hall replacement, you could find a lot of worse players than him. To me, Shefflin could be in line for like an actual breakout season, though. I made this point when we did the PJ Hall NBA scout video with Riley. They actually went to Shefflin more in big moments than they did PJ Hall. Like when they needed a bucket, it was like, here's Shefflin. And I think that means something. He could be really good. Outside of those three, I think there's a lot of unproven marks, but maybe this is Brownell getting over the hump and people are going to kind of write them off. Like the fact that they made the Elite Eight run, return those guys, and aren't a top half team in the ACC is crazy to me.
Surely not a consensus top half team in the ACC. Yeah, they're going to be solid.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Again, because Clemson is generally always solid. Yeah. That, you know, that's the floor.
For sure. Okay, let's move to the Big 12. Again, I kind of want to define who we're allowed or not allowed to pick on the front end for this. So I would assume no Kansas, no Houston, no Baylor, no Iowa State. Those would be the guarantees. No Arizona.
I also had Texas Tech and Cincinnati ranked in my top 25, so we're going to cross those off as well.
Okay, so we're saying available for this pick then would be BYU, Kansas State, Oklahoma State.
I think we need to establish Kansas State because I would since the Coleman Hawkins commitment, I would take Kansas State off the table or they're the easy selection.
Okay, so BYU, Oklahoma State, UCF, Arizona State, Colorado, Utah, West Virginia.
I'm going with TCU of that group. And again, none of this feels good because you're picking a projected bad team, particularly one led by Frankie Collins. but for what TCU wants to do, they loaded up the transfer portal with a bunch of versatile, athletic, quick guards that like to get downhill. I really think Vashawn Elliott, the Old Dominion transfer, has a chance to be a star in the Big 12 at some point in his career if things go well at TCU. Is there a world where Ernest Udeh Jr. finally delivers on his potential this season? Perhaps. I just think the way they play, there's enough chaotic agents on this roster to where maybe they catch fire for a month and get in the mix.
I don't hate that pick. They're coming to play Michigan. We got a home and home, so Frankie Collins has to come back to Ann Arbor. Make sure we bubble wrap the backboards, people. I'm going BYU. So you and I are on very opposite ends of the Mark Pope spectrum. We're going to do this dance forever, Brian. I look forward to it. I'm going to hold you to the fire right now. You told me about 2 months ago that nobody could get recruits to BYU. It's BYU. And then Kevin Young immediately got recruits to BYU.
Yep.
He's crushing it. And Igor Demin might be really, really good. They're going to get Cannon Catchings. I feel pretty confident in that at this point. And to me, that's two guys who are supreme talents. Like Demin and Catchings would start almost anywhere in the country to me. If those are your starting wings around Dallin Hall and Trevin Nell, maybe you're working in Elijah Crawford, who's a guard I really like as a freshman, Mawat Mag playing glue guy role. All you really need is Traore to be a center. I think there's a world here where BYU is like very good. And it depends on Demin being a star. But I think everyone's going to assume step back because they lost Mark Pope. They already just got a talent upgrade losing Mark Pope. So here we are.
There was a video that we did, you and I did, before Demin committed to BYU, when BYU had entered the mix with a rumored deal. Do you recall those kind of funds being available prior to Kevin Young becoming the head coach at BYU?
All that tells me is somebody doesn't know how to fundraise, Brian. That's not a good thing. Like Dusty May snapping his fingers at Michigan and getting more money than Juwan Howard ever meant didn't make Juwan Howard good at his job.
That's fair.
I mean, that's who's he spending on at Kentucky right now? What did he pay Kirk Risa?
Well, that we're talking about maybe your fifth or sixth best player on your roster.
Okay.
There.
Okay. What did he pay Lamont Butler?
I love Lamont Butler. That was a good decision. Are you kidding me? That was a great decision.
Put everyone on Kentucky and everyone on BYU in a bucket for next season. Who are the three most talented players?
Talented or who will produce the most? Because the three who will produce the most are all Kentucky players.
Give me talented.
Talented, probably. It's a 2-to-1 split, and I think you could argue who's the two.
Okay. All I'm saying is Kentucky's two most talented players next season didn't start for their teams last year. We're going to see. We're going to find out. To the Big East. What is the sleeper in the Big East? Let's say no UConn, no Marquette, no Creighton.
Yep.
Who do you want to rule out outside of that? No St. John's?
I think you could probably keep St. John's. I would not pick St. John's.
No Xavier?
I think Xavier, if you're going to pick a fourth one, which I think we have to pick a fourth one, I think a fourth one, Xavier.
Okay, so those are the only four we'll rule out. Outside of that, pretty wide open.
I think of those other ones,
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Would go with, I just had it. I would go with Providence. I like Kim English as a coach. I like what he brought in. You're getting Bryce Hopkins back, obviously. I'm probably like, should give up on Jabri Abdur-Rahim by now, but I thought he could have been great at Virginia. The system kind of limited him. I thought he was going to be more consistently great at Georgia than he was, but I'm going to blame Mike White for that too. Like, I think he has a chance to really thrive. Wesley Cardet from Chicago State, I think, has a chance to be a really sneaky good ad for them. I really like Bensley Joseph as well from Miami. The pieces that were added to me all make sense and all have pretty significant upside, I think. And if Kim English is as good of a coach as I think he is or think he can be, this is the year to get the most out of those guys, which would put them, I think, maybe not in the mix with UConn, but potentially being in that second tier.
Yeah, I can see that. I think there's a lot of good options here. Like, I think Providence is a great one. I think you could talk me into St. John's. I think they're probably the most talented of the options we're saying you can pick. I was even going to consider Georgetown here for a moment because I really think Malik Mack's going to be awesome. And at minimum, I love that backcourt. I landed on Seton Hall. They landed just a lot of guys that I believe in the upside of. Like, I think Zion Harmon's really good. I think Scotty Middleton will be a great college basketball player before he's done. And you kind of scooped up a guy who I still think would have been really good at Ohio State. He had some good games in the second half of the season, but just became available because they fired his coach. I know Garway Dual was really pretty much a non-factor last season, but I still believe in his upside. And to me, yes, you lost Kadari to a team in your conference, but you did about as good of a job as you could have replacing him with a collection of guys that are still high upside shots for Shaheen. And I just like the way Shaheen's teams play. They play hard. Like,
yeah,
I'm buying his stock still really big. Okay, to Big Ten territory. Yeah. This one's a mess. So many teams here, and there's no consensus top half. So, like, I would say no Purdue, no Indiana, no Illinois, no UCLA. Yep. Probably no Michigan State.
Correct.
From there, I mean, everybody's really torn on who else you want to say you can't pick. No Rutgers because of the freshman.
I have Rutgers ranked, so I would say no Rutgers.
No Rutgers.
Do we say no Michigan? Because if we're not picking Michigan, then I'm going to pick Michigan as my
sleeper. That's my thing, too. Is I think, like, I have Michigan ninth in my Big Ten standings, which would be lower half. And I think a lot of people have them that low, but I think they would be my pick, too, if we're saying they're available.
In for the sake of not both picking the same, I'm going to go with Oregon, too. I think Oregon has a chance to. I think Jackson Shellstad has the potential to be a star and be an all Big Ten kind of guy, making a jump from a freshman to a sophomore season. TJ Bamba coming into that system too. I think the system is built to get the most out of a guy like him. There's some projections there with them and some of the guys on the bench taking steps forward, particularly replacing Anfali Dante. They were hoping, I don't want to say expecting, but legitimately hoping to get an extra year of eligibility for him that they did not get. But I think those two guards, the potential of them as a duo, could make Oregon pretty dangerous.
I like that shout. You've talked me all the way into Oregon from the TJ Bamba conversation we had a couple weeks ago when he committed. I like that shout a lot. I'll go completely off the board, I'm going to take Northwestern.
Okay.
Carter and I did an exercise. We did like a draft, and we were both drafting. We were trying to just make like the best 10-man Big Ten team we could have.
Okay.
Northwestern was the only team that had two players taken in the first 10 picks.
Interesting.
Carter took both of them. It was Brooks Barnheiser and Ty Berry, and I think he overdrafted both of them. But Brooks Barnheiser was awesome last year. Nobody paid attention at all. I thought if he portaled, he would have been like everybody wants him. Like 15, 7.5, and 3 last year. He was superstar. And that's as a second option. There's a world where he's just like a killer as the first option. Ty Berry's coming back from injury, but I loved Ty Berry and everything he did as a shot maker last season. They need somebody to be passable at point guard. Nobody's going to be boo-booey. But, man, even outside of Berry and Barnheiser, like, they return Nicholson, who started at center. They return Martinelli, who gave them really good minutes. They return Luke Hunger, who's their big off the bench. I think there's enough there. And this team, as weird as it sounds, like the Barnheiser-Berry era, they've been winning. Like, all they know at Northwestern is winning the last two seasons. And I think there's a world where everybody writes them off without Boo, but the talent is actually good enough to win some games.
I like that a lot. I like that a lot. I think Chris Collins has that program in a place where you know they're not going to bottom out.
Yeah.
And I think this year in the Big Ten, that's going to count for a lot.
Yep. 100%. Okay, to the SEC. This is our final power conference because we don't have a Pac-12 anymore. We're going to say no Alabama, no Auburn, no Kentucky, no Arkansas.
Correct.
No Florida.
I would say no Florida because their general consensus top half, no Tennessee.
No Tennessee.
Okay. I think everybody else I'm okay with.
Everybody else is fair. A lot of good options here too. I love the SEC this year. Who are you going with?
Going to pick a team that did not win an SEC game last season. I think Missouri has a chance to have a real bounce back.
Oh.
I do. I like Tony Perkins a lot. I like Mark Mitchell's potential in the system a lot. They just announced that Caleb Grill is going to be able to come back for another year. He got a medical hardship. I think that's good. Tamar Bates, I think there's a role for him. I don't know about the bench, but there's enough pieces. I think you can get something out of somebody there. I don't know how good the bottom of the SEC is, to be perfectly honest. And I honestly think that South Carolina is a good candidate to do this again if they get good point guard play. But I am not going to count on Lamont Paris catching lightning in a bottle twice. I think this will be more regression with South Carolina than maintain, which is from a Gamecock alumni perspective, totally fine. But I do think a lot went wrong for Missouri last year that they addressed or tried to address.
Fair points. I can't buy into a Tony Perkins, Tamar Bates team. Like, and those guys, they could be really good. And I know they have other guys off the bench, like Jacob Cruz and Marquez Warwick could be big time scorers for these guys. But to me, for the most part, Perkins and Bates like failed. They flunked out of the Big Ten at their various programs, and now it's like they're going to save Dennis Gates. I don't know about that. I do like the Mark Mitchell ad, though. I think there's a lot of good options. You mentioned South Carolina. That's your team. Jamari Thomas, I really believe in. I did a lot of Field of 68 mid-major stuff for that account this year, and those, like, he was constantly winning Player of the Week. And Murray Boyle is going to be awesome, as you know.
I think.
Really?
I have concerns. Really? He last season was a bit of a one-trick pony for me.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Man, there's so many I want to choose here. Like, I'm going to shout Ole Miss, but not pick them. They have so many double-figure scorers, and Chris Beard's just a great coach, even if it feels gross. The one I'm going to pick is completely boom or bust, but I'm going to do Mississippi State. I think them keeping Josh Hubbard was pretty massive because
love Josh Hubbard.
Didn't think he would stay. He's back. You pair him with Josh Hubbard light, Kanye Clary, who, yeah, there's issues with Kanye, but if you believe in Kansas State, I think you should believe in Mississippi State, because Clary, Kugel, and Hubbard is an absurdly talented guard trio that will match up with like the Arkansas's of this conference. It just needs to hit, but I think Jans has kind of earned the benefit of the doubt at this point to at least give him a shot. I think he's a good coach. They need the front court answer, and I don't know what the answer will be, but I trust Mississippi State's talent to be the upside pick here.
I think that's fair. I Josh Hubbard, we might get to this. We may be hearing Josh Hubbard's name a little bit later in the episode.
Interesting. All right. That was a really fun exercise. Topic number two today. The top 100 players of the 21st century was a buzzy topic online last week because Zach Edey was ranked first on this list. Yep. This list came, I believe this was from the CBK Report account, or at least it looks like a CBK Report tweet.
They tweeted it out, but it was from 107.5 The Fan.
107.5 The Fan. Okay. So I saw this on my timeline because an account from Sam Stavrakos quote tweeted this and said, "There's no universe in which Zach Edey was a better player than Carmelo Anthony. Having Edey in the top 10 is crazy enough. End of discussion." This went viral on our timelines because we'd have big Purdue people on our timelines. And the top 10 on this list, 107.5 The Fan, who made this list, Zach Edey was one, Anthony Davis was two, Carmelo Anthony was three, Kevin Durant was four, Zion Williamson five, Kemba Walker six, Jalen Brunson seven, Blake Griffin eight, Jay Williams nine, Tyler Hansbrough 10. We can go on. Like, it goes to Jimmer Fredette, Steph Curry, Emeka Okafor, Greg Oden, J.J. Redick, Trey Young, Michael Beasley, Dwayne Wade, Doug McDermott, Adam Morrison. It would be fun to make our list of this at some point and actually, like, promote it. But for now, Zach Edey being the best player of the 21st century, is that crazy, yes or no?
No, because he is the first back-to-back National Player of the Year winner since the 90s? The 80s? Right? Was it since Ralph Sampson?
Ralph Sampson, Bill Walton are the only other two.
Yeah, 80. So, like, it's not crazy. He's done something that, like, that nobody else has done this century. I think if you want to debate somebody else at one, it's how much do national championships matter?
Bingo. That's my pushback on this. So when I made some lists like this for the Field of 68, when I was working on social media for them a couple of years ago, I always put Jalen Brunson first. Always. Because two national championships meant by far the most to me out of everything on this list. If you won National Player of the Year and you won two championships, who is matching that resume-wise? You're just not, you can't find me a player. Nobody on the Florida teams won.
Yeah. Do you get into any of the Steph Curry stuff, though, where he didn't win Final Four MOP and wasn't, you could say, like, the best player on those teams during the runs? He was the best player on the 2018 team. But do you get into any of that?
I don't. Personally, I don't. Because I think being the best player in a two-game sample size is a lot less important to me than being the best player over a full season. And that year, whatever year that was 2018? Whatever year it was, Villanova won the second title.
Yep.
Jalen Brunson was the best player in the country. the whole year. So, like, with all due respect to his Villanova teammates who were great, that team was loaded. We know that. Like, you have to have an era or a year to be a top 10 guy this century that's like, that was the blank year. The Jalen Brunson year was a thing, and then he also won another national championship. Edie is special and deserves to be near the top of this list because there were two Zach Edie years. There was the Zach Edie year where Zach Edie lost to a 16 seed, and then there was the Zach Edie year where they lost to UConn in the national championship game. The biggest gripe against Zach Edie that I have, or anyone should have at this point, is that the Zach Edie era, what will be remembered as the Zach Edie era, is actually the Dan Hurley era. And I don't know how to square that, because the two seasons that this man was the most dominant force we've ever seen, we saw a more dominant person cut down the nets twice. And Edie had his chance at him. He had a 40 ball. He was individually flawless, but still didn't get that resume mark. You know, it's tough for me to add up.
Well, that's the difference, right? I think you can make an argument either way. It's how much team success matters, because he took that team to the national championship game and he put up historic numbers in that championship game that nobody else has ever done before. And they lost because everybody else stunk up the joint. Do you hold that against him when discussed? Because if Braden Smith makes a couple threes, if Lance Jones makes a couple threes, I don't think the outcome of that game is different, but it might be. It might be. And then I don't think it's a debate. Yeah. And so essentially you're saying that he is not number one because of what other people did.
Yeah, I hear that. And you're right. It's a good point about, like, he should be remembered for being the guy that got Matt Painter over the hump. Like, that alone is a massive accomplishment. Like, taking a guy who had a reputation as one of the biggest underachievers in March and spinning him to the national championship game where you put up 40 is crazy. This list had Tyler Hansbrough at 10. One of the biggest things I've heard when people just try to evaluate Edie the player and his Hall of Fame greatness, like, I call him the best player I've seen in my lifetime. And people were screaming at me, did you not watch Tyler Hansbrough? You're 30. Where were you? To me, Zach Edey was better than Tyler Hansbrough. But Tyler Hansbrough was the second best player I've seen in my lifetime. I don't know how he lands 10th on this list. What does that feel like to you?
I think he should be higher than Blake Griffin, certainly. Now, I don't think Blake Griffin's college career gets enough credit, because that dude was ridiculous. If you want to see some fun basketball, go watch highlights of the game where Davidson played at Oklahoma with Steph Curry and Blake Griffin.
Yeah. Like,
it's a video of the ESPN highlight, and on the, like, recap of, they have the score and the stats, they both had like 40 in that game. We're just like, oh yeah, great games for Steph and Blake. That's absurd. Anyway, he should be ahead of Blake. I think you can make cases. He's probably ahead of Zion too, but, like, the cases for Zion, KD, and even Anthony Davis too, to an extent, were just how absolutely dominant they were. It was easy to get overwhelmed with the Zion hype and the Duke stuff, but we haven't seen anybody before or since have the kind of impact that Zion would have on a game.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant was the first freshman in the National Player of the Year, which now doesn't seem super duper crazy, but he also averaged like 26 and 11.
Yeah.
26 and 11. Like that's absurd. And you didn't have the team success, all that stuff. Like, you can make cases for a number of guys on here, but I think Tyler Hansbrough would have to be top 10. This may be a little controversial too. This is just players, not tournament runs. I think Kemba's too high.
Ooh.
Like, I think you swap Hansbrough and Kemba. Because Kemba's tournament run was the greatest of all time. That team was also ninth in the Big East, and that was his best year.
Yeah. I hear that. So, I think my biggest gripe with this list, or what I would do differently, I think you can make arguments for whatever you want when you do an exercise like this. My biggest gripe would be, I don't think the one and dones should each have a place in this top five. I just don't. We're talking college basketball players. We're not talking how great did they end up in the NBA. And Anthony Davis was fantastic in college. He also had a game with 6 points and 4 rebounds against Cody Zeller. Like, he was great. He was the best shot blocker I've seen in my life in college for a season, and they won a national championship. But was he the second best college basketball player I've watched in my 30 years? No, he wasn't. He had a very good season. That was it. Carmelo Anthony won a national championship as well, and was the reason I fell in love with basketball itself. Like, it's the first jersey I ever bought. He's my favorite player ever. I don't think his individual season at Syracuse is the best ever. Kevin Durant at 4 is the wildest of the one and dones to me, and he had the best statistical season of these guys by far. But those Texas teams didn't do anything of note. And I think Zion, for the hype that was Zion, you can make an argument he belongs here. But I have a really hard time saying any of those four guys belong anywhere on a list with guys that played 4 years and won championships. Like, Tyler Hansbrough and Jalen Brunson, to me, should absolutely be in the top three. If we're putting Zach Edey somewhere in the top three, like, those guys have defined college basketball to me in a way that a one and done just never could. And then if you want to do the talent game, you can do that next. But it just, that was my gripe with this list, is like, we, a lot of one and dones, two of whom didn't win shit in your top five. That feels wrong. Where would you, like, give me your actual top five? If you're making this list, what is your top five?
Okay, I have this pulled up. I need to come back to this because I'm going to fix your Kevin Durant opinion. I do think I have Edie at one. I do think I have Edie at one. I have Hansbrough at two. Jalen Brunson at three. I'm going to keep Kevin Durant at four. And I'm going to go Jay Williams at five. I'm moving Jay Williams up. Jay Williams won like 1.5 national players of the year. He won the consensus 1 year. And then before that, he split them. I think it was with Shane Battier, his teammate. But that 2001 Duke team was one of the greatest of all time. And they made the Final Four the next year too. Yeah. Like, he was a part of some, like because he's the earlier part, we tend to forget like how great those Duke teams were and how good and vital he was to that, particularly because his NBA career was cut short with the motorcycle accident. He was the best college basketball player of that time.
Yeah.
Me. I think he's got to be number five. I'll put him at four and KD at five because he's got the championships. I'll put KD at five. The reason I have KD at five, and I think KD has to be top five. If you want to tell me they did not make it out of the first weekend, I will understand that. I will tell you that KD had 30-9 in that game, and he was not the reason why. He had 27 in the first round game. Conference tournament against Baylor, Oklahoma State, and Kansas. He had 29, 26, and 37, and his averages for the season went down. He had 5 games with less than 20 points on the season. He had more games with 30 plus than he had less than 20. And he averaged 26 and 11.
Yeah, but here's the problem. A different one and done was as good as him, had a better Ooh. Team success season that year.
Ooh.
The same guy that year that went ahead of him in the draft went to the national championship game. And if we were saying whose year was it in college basketball from those one and done, it was the Greg Oden year.
Disagree.
It was
one of them was named the better college basketball player, and it was Kevin Durant. He won National Player of the Year.
And one of them went to the title game and was taken first overall.
One of them also had Mike Conley, who was still playing in the NBA. And Daquan Cook, who also got picked in the first round.
I understand. I think it was a debate. That's all I'm saying. And there can't be a debate for the guy who's rated 5th on this list. Like, and Oden was rated 13 or 14th on the original list. Can you repeat your 5 in order for me, though, real quick? Sorry.
Zach Edey.
Edey won.
Edey won. Tyler Hansbrough. Jalen Brunson. Jay Williams. Kevin Durant.
All right. So I think the top
Kevin Durant three... is my mellow for you, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, and that's fine. I respect. I think those top three should be that top three in order. I would go Jalen Brunson 1. I would go Zach Edey 2. I would go Tyler Hansbrough 3. And I wouldn't hate someone putting Hansbrough 2 and Edey 3 just because Hansbrough got the chip. Tyler, Zach Edey did not get the chip. But I'm going to go Edey too over Hansbrough because I just believe he was a better player straight up. From there, I really think it's so messy. Like, I don't feel good about putting anybody four here. I'm going to put Jay Will four. You talked me into Jay Will belonging.
I will pound that table.
And I'll put Kemba Walker five. I like him over the one and done guys. And
fair enough.
There's your list. Fun topic. Final topic today. This is from Jordan Stocks, aka at Stocks, or sorry, at StockTalks21, one of my favorite Twitter accounts in the college basketball space. He tweeted this out, I believe, at the end of last week and said, what non-star player in 2023 has the best chance to break out in 2024? He put some images down in this tweet. I think we could go outside of the players that he included, but just to name some that he had on his list. Caleb Foster at Duke. He had Jaden Bradley at Arizona. He had Cam Heidi at Purdue. He had Milan Momchilovic at Iowa State. Plenty of others, including one that you immediately identified verbally to me when I said we wanted to do this topic. So who do you think is the most likely breakout star that was absolutely not a star last season?
Yeah, I think Jaden Bradley is a good pick, although I'm not as convinced that's going to happen with Caleb Love returning because I don't know if there's just enough shots to go around that will go around to non-Caleb Love players for that to happen. The first player that is pictured here is Jizzle James from Cincinnati. He comes in, sophomore season now, was a highly regarded high school prospect. People expect Cincinnati to take the next step, and the Big 12 is very, very tough, but they're looking like a preseason top 25 team. Borderline, some people have them in, some people have them don't. I do. It's Wes Miller's third season with the Bearcats. I think a lot of that hype is based on their young guy taking steps forward, and they need a star to do that. And Jizzle James has the best chance to become that star. He's going to have the opportunity to. I really like that a lot. I think he's one of my picks. The other one we talked about earlier in the show is Josh Hubbard at Mississippi State. He was a very, very good player last year, and those in SEC circles, I think, saw him as a budding star, particularly with the way he played down the stretch of the season. But he's somebody this year I think could become a more national star. I think there's a real chance he like strings together a couple 30-point games, a couple 25-plus point games, and get some legitimate national headlines. Like, you're looking for a power conference player that could lead the country in scoring or be among the country's top scorers. Josh Hubbard, to me, is a guy who could do that, which would make him, I think, more of a national star than he is.
I like the Josh Hubbard poll. So of the nine that Jordan Stocks originally tweeted, Cam Heidi is the one I want to pick, but I think star is the term that keeps hanging me up because I think Heidi's going to go from like a non-factor 3 points a game guy to one of the best players in the Big Ten. I just don't think he's going to be the star on Purdue. Braden Smith's the star on Purdue. So to me, like, that sort of disqualifies him. We need somebody who can at least carry the star power, be like the star number two to the star number one. And I don't know that Heidi's going to be asked to do that this year. Momchilovic is one I'd love to pick, but I kind of feel like he's already a star. He just wasn't used as a star. So,
and I don't think his role is going to change.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, for sure. The one on this list I do land on, Emmanuel Sharpe, I think, is going to be Houston's best player. And that goes a little bit in line with how I felt about LJ Cryer. I've been underwhelmed with him for the last couple of years. And I think he's good. I don't think it's best for Houston if they need LJ Cryer to be their everything. Sharpe had some huge games down the stretch of the last season that I'm hopeful with Jamal Shedd out, they're going to ask him to do more, keep LJ Cryer in a complimentary role, and I like that. The other thing, like, when I try to define who's the, like, out-of-nowhere guy to a star, the name from last year that comes to mind for me is Marcus Damask, where it's a guy who, like, was a star at a lower level and then comes in and is a star at the next level. And you can do – obviously, you can do the same thing with Dalton Knecht, although, to me, Damask was more out of nowhere. Like, I feel like Connect at least had a reputation of like, oh my God, when Damask committed to Illinois, I mean, I was slandering the commit, and even Illinois people weren't expecting like first team all conference. So the name that comes to mind for me for that this season is one I haven't heard many people talk about. It's Darlin Stone-Dubar at Tennessee. I adored this kid's game last season. I mentioned I did the Field of 68 mid-major account stuff. He so frequently was like headlining huge games that like we would make a graphic specifically to point out this dude's killing and nobody can stop him. And everybody's in on Lanier at Tennessee. I am more curious with Tennessee. Lanier's got to beat out Zakai Ziegler and Meshack. Like those guys are the backcourt right now. Dubar to me has a more obvious role. There's no other wing shaped player that Tennessee really wants to play. Even consider Jordan Gainey an option that's going to have to Lanier prove himself over. I think there's a world where Lanier's in a smaller role than people expect. And Dubar is the featured option this year in Connect's shoes.
I like that pick. I like that pick. Similar kind of mold, JP Pegues, or Pegues, excuse me. Furman transferred to Auburn.
Yep.
Won a tournament game with Furman. Was a star at Furman, a star in the SoCon. He's somebody who I think has the potential with his style of play and the way Auburn plays to come in and have like an, maybe not first team, but an all-conference kind of season. Because he's gonna be one of the featured guys in that backcourt.
Yep. I also want to give a little love to my rival quickly before we wrap. One of Jeremy Fears and Xavier Booker is going to be a star. And I don't know which one it is. I think there's a world where Booker busts more than there is a world where Fears isn't good. Now, Fears is coming off a gunshot injury that shut his whole season down last year. But the Fears family itself, I'm super high on. Jeremiah's tearing up Team USA stuff right now at the younger level. Jeremy Fears projects as a four-year guy at Michigan State, but there's a reason Tom Izzo didn't even try to get A.J. Hogard back here. The same offseason he's losing Tyson Walker, Tom Izzo's like, no, I don't want the guy who has gotten me six assists a game for three straight seasons. That should be pretty obvious to everyone how he feels about Jeremy Fears. And Booker was a McDonald's All-American talent that just didn't get opportunity last year. With Malik Hall gone and the minimal adds Michigan State made in the front court, he has to get opportunity this year as a sophomore. So to me, if not both, one of them will be really, really good. I won't put my finger on which one I think it is, but I think we feel bad. We feel stupid at some point where like these guys averaged three a game last year. One of them is like an all Big Ten player that we should have seen coming.
For sure.
For sure. Fun topic. Okay. Let's get to our one big thing to close the show. One big thing presented by nobody today, Brian. I can go first if you would like to buy a little time.
Go right ahead.
I want to praise an actor for a moment. I want to praise Mr. Glenn Powell, because I thought Glenn Powell was gimmicky. I thought he was just like the handsome face. I didn't think there was a lot of substance there. Why am I speaking on this? I watched Hitman on Netflix last night, which Glenn Powell is the star of. It's his second huge movie of the summer after Anyone But You with Sydney Sweeney. And this man is versatile, Brian. Let me tell you, this man, this role, first off, he like co-produced this. He helped with the writing on this. It was a great movie, really fun watch. Highly recommend if you're looking for like a rom-com type little Friday night movie under a blankie with some homemade popcorn. He carried this thing from start to finish. He was like narrating it. He had to be in disguise, like in multiple costumes the whole time. Apparently he would just show up on set and make his own costumes. This man has charisma. He has acting chops I didn't realize. And obviously he's one of the most handsome men on this side of the earth, but he's more than a handsome face. That's my takeaway. I think Glenn Powell is our generation's Matthew McConaughey, Brian.
Okay. I'm not qualified to speak on this, as I am not really a movie guy. I have not. Oh. I don't remember the last time I watched a movie that was not like Paw Patrol or the Lego Movie or Super Mario Brothers or something my 5-year-old and 2.5-year-old want to watch.
I'm going to send you some Glenn Powell highlights and we'll see if we can change that. What's
Please
your one
do. My one big thing is that we need to have a major international soccer tournament every summer between World Cups and not throw them all in at once. Like, I love this schedule where you have like the Copa America games at like 6, 9 and noon. And then they got the Euros, excuse me, at 6, 9 and noon. And then the Copa America games at 3, 6 and 9. So you have your whole day with soccer. I think that's great. It's perfect. But we've seen shorter series in both the NHL and NBA, kind of elongating that dead summer stretch between sports and when football starts, throw some soccer in there, man. Like, let's get Copa America last summer. Let's get the Euros now. Let's get something the summer leading up to the World Cup. And then the World Cup. Like, that's a, let's let international soccer space some things out here and not drown us all at once. I love it. It's great. I'm going to be watching soccer all day, but I think there's an opportunity to be had there because, you know, the soccer organizations in the world don't have enough money.
Do you want to get a Team USA takeoff real quick? I know you were frustrated with the friendly last week.
Yeah, we're doing the same thing we did last World Cup cycle where everyone's like, we need to fire Berhalter. And then prior to last World Cup, we tied France 1-1. And everyone's like, oh, maybe we're pretty good. Okay. And then we went into the World Cup and disappointed again. And then we were already set to fire Berhalter this time. We tied Brazil 1-1 and we're doing the cycle again. Just get him the hell out of here and get somebody who knows what they're doing in charge.
Everybody wants to fire the Gregs all the time, man. It's tough. You know, we're doing our best.
I think he's 2 G's too, isn't he?
He has 2 G's. G. It's not yeah. Look. Yeah. Yeah, that one, the loss was bad. The friendly loss was bad, but I don't know. All right.
Congrats on the tie, Team USA. Congrats on the tie.
It's a draw, Brian. How dare you? Thank you to Brian Ralph for filling in admirably for Carter Elliott today. We appreciate all his help on the channel. Carter will return to the show tomorrow, everybody. We'll see you then.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.